Chapter 8. The Need for Reconciliation.
A man was wandering out in his field one day while he was thinking about just how wonderful his wife had been to him, and how fortunate he was to have her. So he looked up into the sky and asked, "God, God, why do you make my wife so kind-hearted?" And the Lord responded, "So you could love her, my son." The man continued, "And why do you make her so good-looking?" And God replied, "So you could love her, my son." The man, overwhelmed with gratitude, continued, "And why do you make her such a good cook?" And the Lord said, "So you could love her, my son." So the man thought about this for a moment and then he said, "Now Lord, I don't mean to sound ungrateful or anything, but why do you make her with such a low IQ?" And God replied, "So she could love you, my son."
Yes, discovering why your spouse is made the way they are can be quite a shocking revelation, can't it? And hey, if we're honest with each other, I think we'd all agree that sometimes our marriages are full of these kinds of surprises, aren't they? And I guess that's why one guy said, "In the beginning, God created the earth and rested. Then God created man and rested. Then God created woman, and since then, neither God nor man has rested." But seriously, is this the kind of relationship that God had in mind when he instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden? Folks, I'm here to tell you that the answer is absolutely not. Yes, Adam and Eve blew it in the Garden of Eden, and along with this, they also blew the chance of having a perfect marriage. But the good news is that even though you and I may never have a perfect marriage, it doesn't mean that we've got to resign ourselves to a life of personal pain and silent suffering. It just means that it's going to take some time and lots of work. Why? Because folks, marriages aren't made in heaven, they're made right here on earth. Therefore, we're going to continue looking at the steps for having a marriage built to last. We already saw the first step in building a lasting marriage was to acknowledge that marriage is under attack. The second step was to acknowledge that men and women are different. The third step was to acknowledge that love is an action. The fourth step was to acknowledge the need for romance. And in the last three chapters we saw that the fifth step in building a lasting marriage was to acknowledge the need for communication. And there we saw that if we're going to avoid communication breakdown, then we need to give each other some time and give each other some clarity and give each other some ear and give each other some respect. But people, that's not the only thing we need to be aware of. The sixth step in building a lasting marriage is to acknowledge the need for reconciliation. You see, even when we finally get around to having healthy communication, we can still blow it if we don't get around to reconciliation. And folks, learning to reconcile is an absolute necessity in sustaining a healthy marriage. Why? Because a lack of reconciliation leads to a life of isolation. Without reconciliation, we end up creating a wall of separation between each other. And here's how it works. Every time we refuse to reconcile with each other over an issue, we add another brick to the wall. And the longer this goes on, the higher it gets. And the higher it gets, the more isolated you become. Therefore, to protect us from creating this wall of separation in our marriages, we're going to look at some practical ways to avoid marital isolation. And the first practical way to avoid marital isolation is by refusing to give in to false expectations.
Job 5:6-7. But evil does not spring from the soil, and trouble does not sprout from the earth. People are born for trouble as predictably as sparks fly upward from a fire.
Now, according to our text here, there is one thing that you and I can bank on in life, and that is this: we're going to have trouble. And because marriage involves two people, sometimes you'll have double trouble. And the reason why we are destined for trouble is because even as Christians, we still have that stinky old sin nature. And that means sometimes we're going to do some stinky old things to each other. Therefore, sooner or later we're going to have to reconcile with each other. And to reconcile means this: to bring together again in love or friendship. You see, the art to a healthy marriage is not the avoidance of problems or pain, because you can't. But rather, when the problems come and when we cause each other pain, we quickly move to reconciliation. We come back together again in love as soon as possible. But reconciling with someone who's deeply hurt us is easier said than done, isn't it? And as if this natural tendency to not want to reconcile was bad enough, the world steps in with a lie that makes things even worse. And the lie is this. They say that as soon as you're having trouble in your marriage, then it must be a failure. And now what you need to do is dump that person and go find that perfect person, that soulmate, so you can be that perfect couple. But folks, contrary to popular belief, there is no such thing as a perfect couple. And as long as you and I fall for this lie, we're headed for trouble, like these people were.
Once upon a time, a perfect man and a perfect woman met. After a perfect courtship, They had a perfect wedding. Their life together was, of course, perfect. One snowy, stormy Christmas Eve, this perfect couple was driving their perfect car along a winding road when they noticed someone at the side of the road in distress. Being the perfect couple, they stopped to help. There stood Santa Claus with a huge bundle of toys. Not wanting to disappoint any children on the eve of Christmas, the perfect couple loaded Santa and his toys into their vehicle. And soon they were driving along delivering toys. However, the driving conditions deteriorated, and the perfect couple and Santa Claus had an accident. Only one of them survived the accident. So the mind-numbing question is, who was the survivor? The answer: the perfect woman survived. Why? Because she's the only one who really existed in the first place. Everyone knows there is no Santa Claus, and there is no such thing as a perfect man. But men, if you're like me and think about this, then logically, if there is no perfect man and no Santa Claus, then that means that the so-called perfect woman must have been driving, which explains why there was a car accident in the first place.
Now folks, no matter what side you fall on in that riddle, we've got to get it through our heads that there's no such thing as a perfect man and no such thing as a perfect woman. Therefore, there's no such thing as a perfect couple. It's not only a myth. It's a lie. And people, I'm telling you that something as simple as realizing that sooner or later you're going to have trouble in your marriage really is a major breakthrough in having a healthy relationship. Why? Because as long as you believe the lie that a so-called successful marriage is one that's perfect without any troubles, then you're setting yourself up for some false expectations. And rather than dealing with your troubles head-on, you'll instead try to avoid them in search of a pipe dream called the perfect life. But people, this is impossible. What did we read? We can expect to have troubles as sure as sparks fly upward from a fire. And the only way to work through your troubles is to deal with them, not avoid them by giving into a false expectation. And because of this influence from our society, here's what I've learned: people will end a relationship not because of irreconcilable differences, but rather because they refuse to reconcile their differences. And folks, the longer we give into false expectations, the more bricks we add to the wall, and the higher it becomes. And so does the isolation. The second practical way to avoid marital isolation is by refusing to delay. You see, even if we finally get around to admitting there's no such thing as a perfect couple and that life is guaranteed to have troubles, we can still experience isolation if we delay in doing something about them.
Proverbs 6:10-11. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will pounce on you like a bandit, scarcity will attack you like an armed robber.
You see, one surefire way to create poverty in your marriage and invite scarcity in your relationship is to delay in taking action about your problems. And for some reason, rather than dealing with them right away and moving towards a solution, we give in to delay. We think that somehow we can just sleep on it or fold our hands hoping they'll just magically disappear. But folks, our problems don't go away by themselves. In fact, the longer you let them go, the more they build up. And the more they build up, the more you're headed for even bigger problems. How? Thanks for asking. Here's how it works. You see, when we give in to delay and allow our problems to go on, we usually bottle them up. We try to cope with it by stuffing our problems. But the danger of this is that it causes a life of bitterness. And folks, bitterness is a one-way ticket to personal destruction. It will eat you from the inside out every single time. Oh, but that's not all. Because we gave in to delay and stuffed our problems, rather than holding them in and becoming bitter, we can't take it anymore, and so we blow up. And when we finally blow up, it's usually over a little problem that has nothing to do with the real problem. But the other person might not know that, and so you never get around to the deeper issues. And all because we didn't deal with our problems as they come, one at a time, our delay added even more problems to the ones we already had. Why? Because the longer we give in to delay, the more bricks we add to the wall, and the higher it becomes. And so does the isolation. The third practical way to avoid marital isolation is by refusing to retaliate. You see, even if we get around to admitting that life is going to have its troubles, and we're not delaying in dealing with our problems, we can still experience isolation if we retaliate.
1 Peter 3:9. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate when people say unkind things about you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God wants you to do. and he will bless you for it.
Now folks, the Bible isn't saying that it's okay for somebody to verbally abuse us. The point is that if we retaliate abuse for abuse, we're just adding more fuel to the fire. And as long as you do this, it'll never go out and it'll never die down. There's only one alternative. Stop throwing more logs on the fire by retaliating. That's what God wants us to do, and He'll bless us for it. You see, when we offend, the other person defends, and so begins a vicious cycle that never ends. Why? Because the longer we give in to retaliation, the more bricks we add to the wall, and the higher it becomes. And so does the isolation. The fourth practical way to avoid marital isolation is by refusing to always have to be right. You see, even if we get around to admitting that life is going to have troubles, we're not delaying in dealing with our problems and we're not retaliating, we can still experience isolation if we always have to be right. And folks, whether we realize it or not, a person who always has to be right is simply a person who is always full of pride. And it's very apparent because they usually consider themselves far superior and so much smarter than everyone else. But people, I don't care how smart you might be, did you know that there's always somebody more intelligent out there? But unfortunately, we don't want to admit this, and therefore we have to learn it the hard way, like these guys did.
One day some relatives were gathered in a hospital waiting room where their family member lay gravely ill. Finally, the doctor came in looking tired and somber. And as he surveyed the worried faces, he said, "I'm afraid I am the bearer of bad news. The only hope left for your loved one at this time is a brain transplant. Now, it's an experimental procedure, semi-risky, and you will have to pay for the brain yourselves." Well, at this the family members sat silent as they tried to absorb the news. And after a length of time, someone asked, "Well, how much does a brain cost?" The doctor quickly responded, $5,000 for a male brain and $200 for a female brain. Well, with this comment, the moment turned awkward. The men in the room tried not to smile and avoid eye contact with the women, but some of them actually smirked. So one relative, a man, unable to control his curiosity, blurted out the question everyone wanted to ask, "So doc, why is the male brain cost so much more?" And the doctor replied, "Well, it's just standard pricing procedure. You see, we have to mark down the price of the female brains because they've actually been used."
Now those guys had to learn it the hard way that they weren't the smartest ones after all, didn't they? And folks, unless you and I can admit that we don't know it all and that yes, sometimes we're wrong on things, we're not revealing our intelligence, we're revealing our ignorance. I didn't say that, the Bible did.
Proverbs 12:1. To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction.
You see, the Bible says that when you're always having to be right, rather than being far superior or super intelligent, you're actually being stupid. Why? Because unless we're God, we can't always be right and we're going to make mistakes just like everybody else. And folks, how in the world are we ever going to work through a problem if we can't admit there is one? And people, this arrogant attitude is not only detrimental to you personally, but it will also destroy you martially. How? Well, you see, the longer we keep having to be right about everything, the more bricks we add to the wall, and the higher it becomes. And so does the isolation. The fifth practical way to avoid marital isolation is by refusing to hold back forgiveness. You see, even if we get around to admitting that life is going to have troubles, we're not delaying in dealing with our problems, we're not retaliating, and we're not always having to be right, we can still experience isolation if we hold back forgiveness. And people, we can get everything else right and actually have our hands on those bricks ready to be removed, but if we refuse to forgive each other, the wall will never ever come down. This is the power and need of forgiveness. But the problem is that most of us think we know what it means to forgive. In reality, we really don't. For instance, Irma Bomek said, "People are always asking couples whose marriages have endured at least a quarter of a century for their secret for success. Actually, it is no secret at all. I am a forgiving woman. Long ago, I forgave my husband for not being Paul Newman. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'd say that's not the kind of forgiveness that's needed to bring down a wall of separation, is it? It might be a good starting place, but I think there's a little more to it than that." Fortunately, the Bible sets the standard of forgiveness for us.
Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Now how many of you are glad that God has forgiven you of all your sins, every single one of them, every single time? And folks, believe it or not, this is the level of forgiveness that we are to give to each other. But as you can tell, that's not easy, is it? But folks, I'm telling you, unless you do, you'll never get rid of your problems, you'll never get rid of that wall, and you'll actually become emotionally incarcerated. Corrie ten Boom shares this true story about the power of forgiveness.
Years after her concentration camp experiences in Nazi Germany, Corrie ten Boom met face to face with one of the most cruel and heartless German guards that she had ever contacted.
He had humiliated and degraded her and her sister.
He had jeered and visually raped them as they stood in the delousing shower. Now he stood before her with hand outstretched and said, "Will you forgive me?" She writes, "I stood there with coldness clutching at my heart. I prayed, 'Jesus, help me.' Woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me and I experienced an incredible thing. The current started in my shoulder, raced down into my arms and sprang into our clutched hands. Then this warm reconciliation seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes.
'I forgive you, brother,' I cried with my whole heart. For a long moment we grasped each other's hands, the former guard, the former prisoner. I have never known the love of God so intensely as I did in that moment."
To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover the prisoner was you.
People, it's bad enough having a wall of separation between spouses, but unless we forgive each other just like God has forgiven us, that wall will become a prison and you'll become the biggest prisoner of all. Why? Because the longer we hold back forgiveness, the more bricks we add to the wall, and the higher it becomes. And so does the isolation. People of God, learning to reconcile is an absolute necessity in sustaining a healthy marriage. Why? Because a lack of reconciliation leads to a life of isolation. Every time we refuse to reconcile with each other over an issue, we're adding bricks to the wall. And the longer it goes on, the higher it gets. And the higher it gets, the more isolated you become. And one day, usually when the kids are all grown up and out of the house, a couple will wake up and discover two different people in two different worlds, who no longer recognize each other. And at this point, most people will take one look at that wall, and simply run the other way in utter dismay. Why? Because they paid no attention to the wall of separation that was being built by themselves, between themselves, year after year after year. Remember, people will end a relationship not because of irreconcilable differences, but rather because they refuse to reconcile their differences. But folks, this is the great news. Even if you've been experiencing marital isolation for many years, believe it or not, that dividing wall can come down in no time at all. How? By refusing to give in to false expectations, refusing to delay, refusing to retaliate, refusing to always have to be right, and most importantly, by refusing to hold back forgiveness. And folks, if we can do that, then one day at a time, one brick at a time, the wall really will come down. And you'll discover that your life of isolation has been restored to a life of intimacy. You see, this is the great news: being married doesn't mean your life is always going to be filled with personal pain and silent suffering. God never said that it'd be easy. He just said that it's going to take some time and lots of work. And if we'll just acknowledge the need for reconciliation, then we're well on our way to having a marriage built to last.